Hello, my name is Federico Toledo and welcome to the Quality Sense podcast, where you will have the chance to improve your sense for quality by listening to some leaders who are amazing at what they do in the software industry. In each show, I have a one-on-one chat with them discussing specific topics related to software testing and quality. Today, I will share the interview with Alon Grimonski, an accomplished multi-time entrepreneur, a leader with great experience and vision about business and technology. He's a passionate engineer who loves building developer tools and companies. Alon is the CEO and co-founder of App9, a startup in the field of microservice software reliability. Alon's previous company, BlazeMeter, was recently acquired by CA Technologies, where Alon served as vice president and business unit executive up until the acquisition of CA Technologies itself by Broadcom. Alon believes that developers are akin to painters and sculptors, and that software is the manifestation of the art. In Abstracta, we have been collaborating with Alon in different ways in the past 6 years, and I think he's doing a great contribution to the software testing field, bringing new amazing tools for us. So let's listen to the interview. Thank you, Alon, for accepting the invitation of participating in this podcast. For me, it's an honor to have you here.
It's so nice of you to invite me. I really appreciate it.
I'd like to know a little bit more about your life as an investor. Do you work only with software testing companies?
So, you know, start with the answer. The answer is no, no. It's not about software testing. I love being an entrepreneur. And I love the excitement of building new products and company. When I know of an entrepreneur that I love to work with, I basically feel like a child in a candy store. So I have a quick rule of thumb. If I know an entrepreneur that I love to work with, but can't, you know, because I'm usually busy building my own company, I invest and I become a close advisor to the CEO. I can say that I'm fortunate to have built a very wide network that I can leverage and pay it forward by providing access to new entrepreneurs. Sophia and the App team is a great example of people I greatly appreciate and have known for many years. And I'm a true believer in App team. I feel very lucky to have Sophia ask me to join her on her journey.
That's cool. I'm really happy to have you as an advisor in this, in the challenges we are facing with the Aptin team. That's great. Okay, the main topic I wanted to address with you in this interview is about microservices, because I know that this is probably one of the main challenges that you are trying to contribute to the testing and reliability of microservices. So I wanted to start with the basics. So can you give us an introduction to the topic?
Sure, I'd love to. And I think that kind of microservices is a topic that is very common. So I'm sure there are people that probably can define it better than myself. We are focused very much on where microservices meet testing and quality, right? And apologies if you hear all my kids shouting at the background. So,
this is the new reality. This is a new reality. We are used to this and everyone working from home. It's okay.
No worries. Okay, so again, it's about the thing that intrigues me the most is where, again, microservices meet testing or, you know, maturing, what we call maturing into reliability. We've been developing software for decades, right? And we've been also practicing testing. Like, there is a very well-defined test practice of how you test. So we will all agree that we all know how to test the monolith or monolith architecture. We will all agree that we know how to test the web app, right? End-to-end testing, browser automation, it's table stakes. But the thing is with microservices that testing has become exponentially more challenging than what we used to know. And where traditional solutions, they find it challenging to address kind of the, you know, microservices. The reason being, microservices is a fragmented architecture. Like, it's not a one big monolith and a few services attached to it, but, you know, it's equal weight services, and it can be hundreds and many hundreds of every service with dozens or more endpoints, right? In a good microservice architecture, there is independency, and sometimes there is dependency actually between these, but there are independent roadmaps. So one microservice can move very fast, the other slower. They may be dependent. So if you have an API contract that you think is most up to date, this contract can change because a new release of a new microservice is happening. So there are dependencies and independent roadmaps. If you consider, usually in microservice, you need an orchestrator like Kubernetes or ECS or Docker Enterprise, right? When the idea is for an orchestrator to alleviate the pain of management, but then there is a layer that abstracts the people from what's happening inside. So try to test something when you don't have access to it. Like in Kubernetes, the cloud native security model doesn't allow you to access a certain service unless it's exposed initially, right? And couple that with a service discovery where there's no fully qualified domain names anymore. There are no static IPs. It's kind of a service can launch somewhere and have its own IP, which is completely virtual. And, so try to test. This is becoming a moving target. And again, where this relates to testers and testing, the job has just become far more difficult than it was in the past. And there are no tools to help you. They're not, at least, very tough to move from monolith architecture into a fragmented microservice architecture. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And I guess it's also related to a term that I've been hearing a lot lately, which is observability, right? Because it's not only about how you approach the testing, but also understand what is happening when you exercise a microservice or a set of microservices. Understand what is happening in the infrastructure, in the system. So can you tell us a little bit about the challenges related to observability of these architectures?
Yeah, I think the when you talk about microservices or, you know, any modern or cloud native tech stack, then you have to think about observability. I think observability, it's kind of the next in generation after monitoring, sort of. But it's not only to make sure that everything is alive and kicking, but it, as it sounds, it's to understand what's going on, to have observability into something that is otherwise somewhat removed and you cannot like look at it. When things become so complex as in a microservice environment, you have to have a system, a software that gives you the full perspective to figure out what's wrong, to troubleshoot, to give you root cause analysis. And observability can come in many ways and forms. Like, you know, an ops person will want their observability tool, a DevOps will want their observability tool, and a developer would want completely different observability tool. It can be monitoring, it could be tracing, it can be used for numerous use cases, but the one thing is for certain, no one has heard of observability 10 years ago, and suddenly, this is kind of, if you don't have it, you know, it's not a good place to be.
I'd like to make a short pause to thank Abstracta for sponsoring this podcast. Abstracta is a company fully dedicated to software testing that can work with you to push the quality of your product and processes to the next level. Can you tell me about tools for this?
Unfortunately, you need many tools for observability.
Many tools.
So again, I think that if you take a certain term like observability or reliability, you know, a lot of the elities, and you ask every stakeholder in the organization will have a different vision of what it is. If you ask an ops person, an SRE, what is observability, they'll have one aspect. If you ask a developer, what is observability, they tell you something completely different. And if you ask a tester, by the way, what is observability, they should, although there are no tools currently available to provide observability for testers, other than App9, of course, you know, they should expect something different. Like, for example, APIs, right? And service architecture and API contract, right? So you would want to have observability into these if you're testing microservices, right? But maybe these are of less importance for anyone that is monitoring the application. Okay, they care about more about signals and health and stuff like that, right? So consider testing and testers, right? When they run a test, they want to know, obviously, the results of the test, and they want to know what happened during the test and how the test had affected kind of the entire system while it ran, okay, all that stuff. So these are observability topics that may not concern other people that, you know, don't care as much about testing. So I originally kind of started App9 and researched the field, observability surfaced very often, and I asked, okay, you know, can you decouple observability from testing? And the answer was no. You have to have observability as part of any testing framework. But again, observability will mean different things to different people.
So what's your current approach to solve these issues that you're mentioning with App9?
Yeah, no, good question. I think App9 is basically an implementation of, you know, when you have a problem, the first step is to understand the problem. And, you know, I'll start with observability, but the thing is that everything is connected. It's not only about observability. It's not only about testing. It's not. And the problem is that the solutions are fragmented. You have a solution for this, solution for that, but nothing that connects all the dots. And which, you know, who is left to connect all the dots? The people, right? So I think kind of if I go back, so my partners and I have spent, you know, the past decade in test automation and first in BlazeMeter, then in CA, and now obviously in App9, we've come to realize that testing is a bit broken, and to put it mildly, and there's a huge workload on testers and developers and engineering in test. And by the way, it's common knowledge that testing is the main reason to slow down releases. So, and take activities such as test planning, test creation, maintenance, automation, results analysis, all that. When we look at things, we say, hey, we want to offload all of these things. We want to provide a system that takes care of the entire thing. You cannot find root cause analysis if you don't have observability, right? You have to spend time building a test, to run a test, right? So there's a lot of heavy lifting to be done. And App9, first, it automates the test generation. It writes tests as code. It updates these tests. These tests are committed to GitHub as any developer or engineering in test would do, right? The test code constantly adapts to your service architecture, right? You have an always up-to-date test coverage. And this is all done instantly, so you don't need to wait for something to happen, right? So you get complete test coverage as a machine kind of would do. So we look at things holistically. We provide, you need to understand the architecture, observability into the architecture. You have to be able to build tests based on the architecture and see how tests connect, like certain flow. Why is a certain flow better than another flow, right? You want to see that flow in production or in pre-production. You want to see that this is the positive path, right? When you run these tests, you know, hundreds of different tests, who will analyze these results, right? So Up9 analyze all of the results for you, coming up with conclusions. And all of the time, this should be connected to the service architecture. Again, observability. So basically, take all this together, and this is Up9 for you.
Cool. Really interesting. So tell me, how can I try the tool? Is there any version available I can start trying?
Yeah. So we actually released Up9 a couple of months ago, and I love you, your listeners, to sign up. Simply, you know, go to up9.com, you know, and I promise to personally address any feedback we get. At this time, we'd love to get feedback.
That's amazing. To wrap up this interview, I would like to also ask you a couple of questions related to some other topics. I truly believe that in order to improve, you know, your something in your life, in your career, what you have to do is to modify those small things that you do all the time. And I think your insights as a successful entrepreneur could be very useful for anyone listening to this. So what habits do you have that maybe you can suggest the people to adopt or maybe to avoid?
Yeah, I think to avoid is far more interesting to what to adopt, although both are. But I would say avoid stagnating. You know, a way to drop off the race is getting too comfortable and stop innovating. Don't do that, really. Embrace change, and most importantly, enjoy the ride. We are now building the next 100 years, right? And you're special. So, you know, especially by the way, for testers, things are changing. Adopt the change, move fast, move at the speed of software development.
Such a challenge, right? This is a very dynamic world, specifically in our industry. And this is, I think, I totally follow what you're mentioning. I understand, and I also see it as a huge challenge that we have to be like paying attention to all the movements, all the new waves, all the new tools, all the new architectures and everything. And I think this conversation we are sharing, it's towards this direction, right? Excellent. Yep. Thank you. What about books? Do you have any book recommendation to make?
Yeah. I love books and I've read many. And especially as an entrepreneur, you read constantly because that's, you know, a certain way to grow. Two books have left their mark on me. One is Steve Jobs' biography. I think this is a chapter in history that anyone that is in tech needs to read. And the second one is Ben Horowitz, The Hard Thing About Hard Things. I also think it's a must read for entrepreneurs specifically, but also, you know, people in tech. By the way, I suggest reading these books at least twice.
Twice. Okay.
At least, yes.
Yeah, it's true that if you read the same book in different stages of your life, you learn different things, right?
Yeah, and it's It's from reading something just for the sake of reading or seeing a movie for entertainment purpose to where, hey, maybe I can learn something from it and actually, you know, evolve. So I think reading a book or even hearing it for a few times actually does that job.
Totally agree. Well, Alon, thank you so much for this time, for your time. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed the talk with you.
Federico, I really appreciate the invitation to appear in your podcast. I know the impact it can make by offering unsolicited content and advice to QA and test professionals. So thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And I believe I speak on behalf of the QA and test professionals. Thank you for your contribution with this podcast initiative.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. I hope your sense for quality got better after this conversation. Thank you so much for listening, and please subscribe to Quality Sense Podcast. Tell your friends, your family, your colleagues, or whoever you think can benefit from listening to it. I hope to see you soon. Adios, amigos.